Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
And welcome to Grace Christian Fellowship Church. This has been a tough time for us this week, a time of the last things, the last this, the last that, and a time of goodbye. Please forgive me if my allergies work up today and you'll see some tears, but you know, it must be the pollen that's out there. Today is my last sermon at Grace Christian Fellowship Church. I love you, church. It's been a great 5 years. And the allergies are getting me already. More importantly, as I talked about last time, this will be the last time I have the privilege of meeting and greeting one of the... Well, and today it may take some time. With us are some special, special people that have come here for my last service, Naomi Jo and her husband, and my good friend Jerry Calvin, my ex-boss. He had promised me that he would come up to the UP and visit. Well, he just walked in the doors today, unannounced. But this is a man that taught me that failing was okay and dramatically changed my life. He's also the man that I rode with on Route 66 6 years ago. Yeah. And there was, some of those times were pretty tense. So, but that's because of freeways that we hit. But with that being said, this is, again, is a time in which we reach out and we greet everybody in the name of the Lord, with a holy hug and a holy handshake. Some of you that may be new today, watch out, because here we come. So let's do that. Everybody been sufficiently hugged? Did we miss anybody? Well, that's good, because a hugging church is a happy church. Hugging church is a happy church. One of the most exciting tasks as a pastor, of course, is baptism, but the one... task that is equal to that is when you bring believers into the body of Christ by visibly accepting them as members of the church. So at this time, I'd like to introduce you, Rob and Pam Yerkes, if you'd come up here, please. And I also like to call the elders up. Oh, we got them all. As leaders, Pam and Rob, we are, meaning the leadership of this church, are to help develop the use of your spiritual gifts, place them as a functioning part of the community, and care for your spiritual welfare. And this is a commitment that we do make to you. The commitment, though, for you will be to prayer, fellowship, service, and the sharing of your gifts as a member of Grace Christian Fellowship Church out of love and gratitude to God and love for one another. With that, I need to ask you, will you make that commitment? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Okay. Church, will you please stand? The church's commitment is to uphold Pam and Rob, to encourage them, to adopt them as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a functioning and important portion of the body called Grace Christian Fellowship Church. Church, will you make that commitment? If so, say we will. Inasmuch that you, Pam and Rob, have confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, been baptized into Christ, and have agreed to our articles of faith entitled What We Believe and our mission statement, we proudly welcome you as members of Grace Christian Fellowship Church. Yeah. I'm going to ask the elders to lay hands on Rob and Pam, and if you want to, just ask that you extend your hand as we pray for them. Heavenly Father, I just remember the day that Pam and Rob walked into this church, and so much, Lord, I wanted them to be part of this church and to use their gifts, and here they have accepted membership at Grace Christian Fellowship. We pray, Lord, that you will use them in a mighty way, that you will seek out their gifts, that you will surround them with lots of love in this church, and they'll be a vital, vital part of this body of Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I remember it was about 45 years ago, I was 21, when I met this beautiful 5'4" blonde bombshell. And I was infatuated. It just took my heart and it ran and ran and ran. And I really, 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 really liked this young lady. We dated for a few months and she popped that 4-word sentence that puts fear in many a bachelor, and it was,
"Do you love me?
Do you love me?" Some of you have probably gone through that. You know, I was lost for words because I really, really, really liked this young lady? I did. But love sounded like a long and permanent relationship, and I was only 21. You know, when you hear those words from a lovely lady, which she was and still is, that's when your forehead beads up with sweat and you hear that small voice which says, "Run, Forrest, run!" Did I tell you I really, really, really liked her? But an affirmative yes meant commitment, responsibility, and also devotion to one person. Furthermore, it might have meant marriage. I'm not quite sure if this wasn't going through Peter's mind in John chapter 21, where it was after the resurrection and Jesus had appeared to the 7 disciples on the shore of Galilee near Tiberias. And there Jesus confronted Peter with those same 4 short words. "Do you love me?" 4 words, if answered yes, could mean total commitment, an awesome responsibility, and a complete devotion to one person. Today is my last sermon here at Grace Christian Fellowship, and it is also the very first sermon that I gave here 5 years ago. And it's called "Feed My Sheep" or "Your Job, My Job." With that, I want to ask you to grab your Bibles and go to John 21 as we read 14 through 17. I usually have this marked my other Bible, but it's in my satchel here. But anyways, if you have a pew Bible like I do, everybody raise your Bible. Good. If you don't have one, grab a pew Bible. Okay. Pew Bible 769. And this time, I need it. God, I grabbed the wrong Bible here. 769. In your pew Bible. And then get ready to turn to Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 on page 828. And before we start, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and tell them it's time to study God's Word. Why don't we do that? Time to study God's Word. Okay. I was going to think of trying to think of something more creative, but I couldn't at the moment. But okay. John 21, verses 14 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Okay, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, in your pew Bible, 828. Chapter 4 in Ephesians, verses 11 and 12. "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we love you so much. We know one of your commands is that we feed your sheep. Today, Lord, in this message, help us to learn how we do that. Help us to learn that we do this out of love. Help us, Lord, to also know that we as a church all have different roles as it applies to what you want us to do within the body of Christ. So with that, Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to receive from you the word of God, and may you entreat us to apply the word into every aspect of our lives. Lord, we ask for your presence here. Help me, Lord, to be an open vessel to your leading, an open vessel to your spirit. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Without a doubt, both Ginger and I believe that Calumet and Grace Christian Fellowship was exactly where God wanted us to be in the last 5 years. There's no doubt that we have been knitted together as village missionaries to a wonderful, wonderful flock of gracious, loving people. Then, as well as now, which means then when I preached 5 years ago, this sermon, as well as now, the roles of the church and its pastor and the individuals within the church, they have not changed. They have not changed. We all have specific purposes in order to minister right here in Calumet and all of Keweenaw County. We do that. But we don't do it because we have a list of things to keep us from hell. We don't do that. We do these things. We do these things because it's a response to a Savior who asks us whether we love Him enough to be committed to do His will for our lives and do His will to work in the lives of others. That's what we do. That's what this love is all about. In John 21, we see two kinds of love. We see agapeo love, which is love, which is with reasoning, that's intentional, and has a spiritual devotion as one loves a father. That's what agapeo love means. Phileo love means I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection as a friend. And in John 21, these verses, we see both types of love there, both types of love. And really, he gives us a charge. He gives us a charge in these verses 15 through 17. He asked the question, do you love me? And the answer from Peter was, yes, I love you. But it's kind of strange because the love that Christ was talking about was agapeo love. Love which is with reason, that's intentional, and has a spiritual devotion as one loves the Father. I don't know whether Peter realized that that's the type of love response that that Christ was asking for. Because he says, of course I love you, but he responded back in phileo love, which means I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection as a friend. Of course, Jesus, I love him, buddy, buddy. Instead, as a father. And then his word says, from Jesus says, feed my sheep. Sheep, they're small ones. They're small ones, whether they're little children or they're small ones, if they're just new in the faith. New in the faith. So we are to feed the young one. We are to reach out to them. We are to have teen groups. And we are to have Sunday school. And we are to invest our lives in them because they are so new in the faith and they want to be trained in where God wants, what God wants. And there's some people that just want candy all the time. So you see what he's saying here? Do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And Christ is saying, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Verse 16 gives us a second charge. And that is, do you love me? Then take care of my sheep. Shepherd and take care of my sheep. Take care of people, he's saying. Feed and clothe them. Take care of their needs. Lead them into right living and give them hope. We're to give them hope. We're to give them hope. Lots of hope. Because Scripture says that we're to demonstrate the hope that is within us. The hope that we can give out to others. And these cards are for you to give out because that's our job, to give out hope. Hope that people need. Hope that people desire. Hope that can change their lives. Hope that they can live a better life. So pass out hope. That's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. Number three. Once again says, feed my sheep. And it's kind of funny because in the second, in the verse 16, when we talked, do you love me? Again, it was agapeo love, again, which means a love which is with reasoning, that's intentional, and has a spiritual devotion as one loves a father. And again, in verse 16, Peter responded, I have a deep instinctive I love you. I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection as a God. I don't know whether in verse 17, Christ just put his hands up. Because when next time he says, do you love me? He says, do you have for me phileo love? That deep, instinctive affection as a friend. Because Jesus was not only the Father that he wants a deep relationship with, but he was also a friend to Peter. So this time, the third time, Simon, son of John, says, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Christ asked for the third time, do you love me? It was phileo love. Isn't that interesting that Christ responded that way? And so did Peter, because I don't know whether he was there yet. I don't think Pentecost had revealed to him through the Holy Spirit of this agapeo love, this deep love. So he's saying, well, even feed the mature ones, feed the flock, both physically and spiritually. Give them food and the word of God. Give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. We've got to give people the gospel. Here, give that to somebody. So give people the gospel. Here, Jack. Bobby, give people the gospel. Kenny, give people the gospel. Here you go. Give people the gospel. There's something very interesting in these verses. One thing that's very interesting is in verse 17, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Other versions says that Peter was grieved. Why do you think he was grieved? And why do you think it was three times? And how many times did Peter deny Christ? Three times. And I think it hit him right then on the spot that this time he was going to do it the right way. This time he was going to love this Jesus. This time he knew the grace of Christ. This time he knew resurrection life because Christ was alive. And this was after the tomb. This was after resurrection. This time it was going to be different. But Christ had to remind him, do you love me? Because this is important. This is important. Do you love me? I believe this is a calling to Grace Christian Fellowship Church. I think it's our role to nurture, feed, and tend the community of Calumet, Lorem, and all the Keweenaw Peninsula. I do believe that. But in this calling, we need to ask ourselves the same questions. Do we love Jesus? Do we love him with reasoning? Just do, have we reasoned out this Christ in our life? Are we reasoning out knowing he is God, knowing that he supplies all our needs? Are we reasoning that out? Do we love him with intentional love that's focused on him? Not us, but him. You see the difference? Not us, but him. We're talking about agapeo love. Do we love him with intense spiritual devotion? Intense spiritual devotion. As one loves a father. That's a big commitment. Loving Jesus means commitment. It means responsibility. It means devotion and, yes, a marriage of a sort. And the job of loving is not always easy or comfortable, is it? Because all those things come with it. But get this, it wasn't easy or comfortable for Christ himself. But because of his love for us, he went to that cross. 1 John says this, and this is love, not that we loved, but God loved us first and gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins, to be an atonement for our sins. Do you understand the difference? So that's what he calls a church and a pastor and all leaders to do. And that is feed my lambs, tend, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. That's what we do as a church. But what was my primary job here? And what is your role? How do we feed the sheep? I think it's best covered in Ephesians 4:11-12. He gave some for apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the what? Equipping of the saints, for the what? For the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So, Paul's given the Ephesians some instructions as what they're to do, what their roles are, whether they're in leadership or whether they're part of the body. But listen to this. So we see in this verse that the primary function that I have and our leaders have is to do what? It's to equip you. It's to teach you. It's to disciple you. It's to pull you alongside. This word, equip, in the Greek is kartotisimo. It's where we get our English word artisan, or artist or craftsman. But the word first appeared in the calling of the disciples, and they were mending their nets. Mending their nets. Making them strong, preparing them for service, or getting them ready for action. That was my job. That was the leadership's job, whether you're a small group leader or elder of the church or a deacon of the church. That's our job. But it's interesting that the New American Standard Version says, this is the New American Standard. Others says for the equipping of the work of the body of Christ. But here it says for the equipping of what? The saints. Why do you think I always say, good morning, saints? Because you're saints. How many here are saints? Okay. From a biblical perspective, how many here are saints? Yeah, you're saints. I know others might disagree, but you are saints. When Paul uses, I read this in a pastoral letter, it says this. When Paul used this term, he was speaking of those who strive to live as disciples of Christ. He was speaking of those living ordinary lives in changing times where sharing the life of the Christian community, while sharing the life of the Christian community and carrying on the mission and ministry of Jesus. And why are we saints? Not because of what we did, but because of what Christ did on the cross. That's what makes us saints. You are saints because Christ has redeemed you and covered you with his robe of righteousness through his grace and mercy. And you're set apart for his purposes. Set apart for his purposes. My job is to mend the nets. to perfect you for service by using the word of God to restore you to your original purpose. Where necessary, and to spiritually feed you, to encourage you, to help prepare you to feed and tend the sheep. That's my job. That's my job. And the business of being a pastor, teacher, carries with it an awesome responsibility to you and to God. And it's a responsibility I never took lightly. I never took lightly. It is not an easy endeavor to mend nets with any church, to mend the nets of broken hearts, of broken people. I'm pretty blunt. I preach from the Word of God. That's what I do. That's how I mend nets. Ray Steadman says that the business of preaching is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Don't you love it? I like it so much, I'll say it again. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So my job is to equip the saints, but what is yours? Your job is ministry. Your job is for me to, and the elders and the deacons to equip you, and for you to go out for ministry. If you notice that their primary function was to equip, but the church was to do the work. This is the service of ministry in using your God-given gifts for the cause of Christ, to do the work of the church. And everybody has different gifts. So your primary job is to do the work of service or ministry and to building up the body of Christ. That's your second primary job, is to build up the body of Christ. The Greek here is okodame. It's the act of building up. Edifying, promoting another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. I think it embodies the actions of encouraging, comforting, and being strengthened, being strengthened. And you are the church. I was just sent here as a missionary to equip. You are the church, that your job is to do the work of service. Your job is to do ministry. I remember when I was younger, my son was real young, I remember coaching Little League Baseball. And my primary function there was to be a coach, to teach the kids, to train them, give them the fundamentals of hitting, the fundamentals of catching, the fundamentals of running. That was my job, and it's not much different than my job here. We now play in that game of life out there. We play in that game of life. I'm the one giving signals, telling them how to play, and to play the game in the field. I'm the one who encourages, you know, attaboy, 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 better, better, you know, those types of things. That's my job. Encouraging the team. But get this. As much as I can encourage, as much as I can train, as much as I can build people up, I can't be in the game. You are in the game. You have to go up to bat. You have to run the bases. You have to learn to catch the ball. You have to learn the instructions and the rules of the game. That is what the body of Christ is supposed to do. Is supposed to do. Supposed to do that in everyday life. I tell you what, I am maybe proud is too strong because I don't have ownership in this except to say this church is strong. This church has leadership in every position. This church is ready to be taken to the next step. I am so excited about what God has for this church. 5 years ago, I wrote down what my personal vision was for Grace Christian Fellowship and spoke of it, you know, my first sermon. Here was my vision that I had written down 5 years ago. The church will be the center of the community. Not quite there yet, but that's what we're headed towards. All activity will revolve around Grace Christian Fellowship. Not yet, but we're getting closer. People will know us because of who we are as people of God. Do people know us in town as Grace Christian Fellowship? Do they? Those of you that live in the community, do they know us? Mark, do they know us? Chester, do they know about our church? Yeah. Yeah. And so that vision has been realized. This place and this people will be a sanctuary, a safe haven from the world. It is, and I thank you, church, for allowing that. Guys from the Phoenix House, is this a safe place for you? Is it? You feel comfortable here and not rejected? That's what we're supposed to do. That was a vision 5 years ago. Ministries will be developed to meet the needs of the community. We're doing that slowly. 31 Backpack Program. Did have Neighbors Neighbors, and now Shanna and Kay. What's that? Welcome Home. Have a new Welcome Home program to help set people up that are homeless and need the basics to start their home. We did a Christmas caroling in the community, and so we're trying and we're being pretty effective in touching the lives of the community. Here's the last one. It's very important to me. People will know that they have been with God when they visit. I don't know whether that's true. I know that I know I've been with God when I visit, when I preach. Have you felt that God's here in this church? Yeah, thank you. You know what? A vision just doesn't come with a man, especially as it relates to God's vision. Because the vision is God. It doesn't matter who is up here. If they want to know God's vision, it will be this. Because that's a vision for this church. That this was the vision, right, but Mike, when you even formed. To those that need that touch to comfort them. To bring them into a life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So even with me gone, this will not change the vision of the church. And I'm hoping some years down the road, I'm going to see every one of these visions, or at least the half that are not yet, I will come back and see them fulfilled, because it's God's vision. It's not just my vision. I made four promises to you 5 years ago, which I believe I've kept. My promise is that I will love you, even the times you seem unlovable to others. I will love you. I will love you even when you don't love yourself. I will love you. And I've done that. Number two, I will always preach the Word of God. There's nothing that I can give. Unless it's from the Word of God, I have nothing for you. I have absolutely nothing for you. There is no wisdom or philosophy that I can give you that is stronger than the Word of God, period. Do I get hear amen on that? I will work hard, and I have worked hard. And the sad part about it, I wish I could have worked harder. Because we've given her all. And we would probably stay here if it wasn't for the fact that God had called us to stand down. And that's what we're doing. My last promise, which seemed a silly promise, but it is true. I will disappoint you, but not on purpose. I'm only human. I have made mistakes and sometimes have unintentionally offended and hurt some of you. And for that, I am eternally sorry. These are the promises I gave 5 years ago. And I'm sure all Village missionaries that come here can make that same promise. I am so excited about your new missionaries, Kevin and Leslie Houseman. Let it be known that Kevin will not be me. He will not be me. Maybe he won't be as silly, I don't know. But he will be a man who will have other strengths and other gifts, which will be necessary for this church to fulfill the vision that God has for it. All the gifts necessary for the growth of this church and the growth of this community. That will happen. I know this. And like all Village Missions pastor, I guarantee you this. He will make the same promises I made to you. And that is, he will love you. He will preach the word. He will work hard. And yes, he will sometimes disappoint you, but never intentionally, never on purpose. People ask me what I will be doing in retirement, and I say this. There you go. I will be meditating deeply about the Word of God. Teenagers, do you like that? You like that? Yeah. They snuck up on me, and I was in deep in prayer, and really thought I was. Like Paul Harvey, let me end with the rest of the story. I was able to say to this beautiful blue-eyed, blonde-haired girl that I not only really, really liked her, that I really, really loved her. And it's been a great 43 years of marriage. Time of commitment, a time of responsibility, a time of devotion to one person. That's what Christ wants from us. That same type of marriage, the same type of devotion. Yes, there's going to be ups and downs, but the good news is that relationship, when you say, yes, I do love you. Matter of fact, I really, really, really love you. It changes your life, both with a girl that God gave you, and for Jesus, it will change your life. So, dear saints, Grace Christian Fellowship Church has a lot to do yet. There are sheep and lambs to be fed and taken care of out there and in here. And I'm excited about the leadership that God put together to do ministry in Calumet and the surrounding areas. I am excited. The state of the church is strong. Do I hear amen on that? Amen. The state of the church is strong. And has been equipped to do ministry. And the church can only get stronger. It's not the time to look elsewhere. Because if I was a reason that people came, then I failed in my mission to equip you so that you can go on in ministry. So this church can go on. I need to leave that with you. So the question is, or the answer is, if we want to go on with Christ, if we want to see Christ grow this church, it can only do that by us saying that we really, really, really love Jesus and we're ready to make that commitment to feed his sheep. The whole world is dying. There are people out there just waiting for us to speak into their lives. A hurting and dying world. Let me show this clip and then we'll close in prayer. Grace Christian Fellowship, you have your work cut out for you. Because we live in a lost and dying world. And if you don't make it happen, nobody will. And they're just waiting. The whole world is waiting on us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Just teach us, Lord, how to feed your lambs, how to tend your sheep, how to feed your sheep. Help us, Lord, to know the signs of when we speak and when we talk to those who are hurting that need comfort. Help us to be the church. Help us, Lord, not to play church, but to be the church that you want us to be. There might be somebody here that has never accepted Christ for the very first time. Somebody here who's hurting that wants a different life. Someone here that has no purpose, has no leading, but someone here that wants something more and wants that unconditional love. If you're one of those people, maybe today's your day of salvation. You're probably saying, what do I do about this, Pastor Merle? And I say, well, maybe it's time you get on your knees and say this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of my past. There's been nothing but bad coming out of it. I want a new life. I want a new life with you. I want to serve instead of being served. I want to reach out to those. Lord, I don't know how to do it, but I know that I want to love you with all my heart. And I make that commitment to you, Lord, to be my Savior. Make that commitment to be my Savior. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I'd like to know if anybody said that prayer today. If so, I ask you to put your hand up and right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Dear Lord, I love your church. I love your people. Keep them safe from harm. Help them grow in you. And help them to be able to reach out to one another as well as to this community. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.